Chapter 54. The Mystery of Our Change. The Time Has Come. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace and without spot and blameless. 2 Peter 3:8-14. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Matthew 13:10-16. Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth a stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another, they shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city, they shall run upon the wall, they shall climb up on the houses, they shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Joel 2:5-11. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens which were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. 2 Peter 3, 1-7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Hebrews 11:7. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. 2 Peter 2:5. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who shall privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that shall live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for the righteous men dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not. And they shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. A heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children which have forsaken the right way, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean, escaped them who lived in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. 2 Peter chapter 2. 3 visions. First vision. The entire world of men was gathered by the judgment of the Lord before him. I saw that this is in real time, present time, not a future time, but this is happening right now in the world of men. The Lord had brought all men and nations together and put them before him, so that the Lord could pour forth the waters and the fires of his judgments upon them. As the nations stood before the Lord, they were for the most part completely ignorant that the Lord was even among them or above them. These who were of the nations were completely taken up with the waters and fires of judgment that were in the earth, and they did not realize or know that the Lord above them was bringing this forth unto them. As the Lord drew the nations together to judge them and to pour out his fury upon them, I saw that their minds became blacker and blacker. Their minds became dark with the blackness of night, which enveloped their ability to think and to know and to perceive truth. As their minds came together, it mattered not which nation they came from or which nation was present before the Lord. Their minds had become so black with darkness that they could not know or perceive the Lord in any way. It was the Lord that brought them together this way and allowed their minds to become black and dark and filled with the void of knowing who the Lord is. The Lord did this so that the nations would not know him, nor understand him, nor perceive that he was there above them. It was all a working of the Lord to gather all men into this realm of darkened minds, so that they could not discover the Lord or know his power and vision. Second vision. The nations then, in a state of blackened minds, came to the place wherein no solution was found for the problems that were now in the world of men. As they had come to this place, so they also came to the realization that the world as they knew it was not able to sustain them any longer. And as a result, all man had invented in his carnal wisdom collapsed. I saw that this is in real time, not a future date, albeit the collapse will take time to happen, but in the time we are in presently, a very real exposure of the lives of men to complete instability and an unsure future. As the systems collapsed, so too did hunger increase, and men began to seek out for bread and for water. The world of men had failed to complete itself in realms of self-preservation, and as a result, all man had done to make a name and a place for himself was now destroyed. So then, the individuals and the nations began to walk about the earth seeking this bread and this water. The only ones who had bread and who had water were the true sons and daughters of God, who lacked no good thing, the Lord alone being their supply. These had the bread, and these had the water. What I saw was that the sons and daughters of God, who had this bread and this water, were in new bodies, eternally glorified. That in this state, they were well able to provide for the needs of the nations when it came to daily bread and to waters that were pure and clean. At the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God, this will become a present reality, and the nations will have nowhere else to go but unto the Lord's children to be fed and to have their thirst assuaged, so they can continue in the world and on into the next age of the kingdom of God. And vision. Third vision. I saw an old elderly prophet of the Lord wearing old tattered clothing, torn and shredded over time. And this prophet, his hair and his body, were covered in layers and layers of dust. This prophet did move faithfully through the earth, and did motion himself in such a way as to continue to proclaim the true word of the Lord, even though he was dressed in such a fashion and covered in much dust. And vision. The bravest statement one can make at this time in history is to say that history is about to be culminated. When one looks back at the history of the nations and of mankind, one would wonder how it is that we, of this generation, can possibly proclaim that this is the time of the coming of Christ. Right now in the world everywhere, but especially in Christian circles, even in sonship circles, confusion is rampant. Men have invented every sort of carnal invention there is, as well as every sort of spiritual doctrine one can contrive to persuade others of their own opinions. In the world of Christendom and even in sonship circles, the doctrines that are emerging are absolutely horrible. Truly the question Jesus posed, "Will the Son of Man find faith in the earth when he comes?" is a true word. I have heard every sort of doctrine from "He never left" to "His coming is only figurative." Hear me well. There is a coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in that same body that was raised from the tomb 2,000 years ago, and that coming has not yet happened. But also hear this, that coming will manifest only in those whom the Lord has deemed as having overcome all things and who have learned obedience even in the smallest of matters. It is not just a coming in his raised body, but a coming in a body of people, a company who are identical to the Lord in every respect. He is going to come, and his reward will be with him. Know this, the time for this coming is upon us. Look at this now from a bit of a distance. In all the past ages of time, the world has waited for something better to happen. That better thing is the kingdom of God, not another government of man or leader of man, but that kingdom which has the Lord alone as king and by which no other man is able to come into unless they first be made holy. Eons of time have passed in the world history, and many declarations of truth and prophecy have come and gone. But it is only now that we will see the culmination of all this that was promised to us. Jesus is coming, and he is bringing the kingdom of God with him. It is not a fanciful hope, but a literal fact. This world will be enveloped in his kingdom, and all the nations of the earth will be purified to enter into it. Here we are, the generation at the end of this segment of world history, and upon us this time has come. I hold no hope or connection to this world other than one passing through it. My birth and my home are only in the kingdom of God. Speaking directly now to those who have ears to hear and whose eyes are opened and not blind, who know that their life in this world is taken up in duality and that they both live seated in heavenly places in Christ but are also surviving in this world of men. To those I would now address this text. We are not ones who think we are ascended in some sort of God service mentality. We are not of those who think that the Lord's main purpose in this world is to make us rich and give us things. We are not of those who wish to find ourselves overblessed with wealth and riches while the majority of mankind is in peril. Ours is not a place in Christ that gives us worldly wealth and ability, as well as the right to be one with God. Ours is the place of humility, of brokenness, of contrite spirits, a measure of self-loathing, not self-righteousness, of having his righteousness imputed to us because we know full well we do not have any of our own. The true overcomer at this time does not think they have arrived at the completed place in Christ and nothing more need be done. They know that they still wait for a visible physical manifestation of that which is spirit into this which is natural. The fact is that we cannot be wishful in our thinking, imagining that we have it all now and there is nothing more to be added. We do know that the Lord must come and that he must come to fulfill his promise. He has promised to envelop this world into his kingdom, that when the coming of Christ takes place, that he will come bringing that kingdom of everlasting joy unto us forevermore. He will envelop this entire world and all the nations into that kingdom. The things of the Lord will be in that day most simplistic. Two things will be the mainstay: That is the kingdom of God in complete purity and the love of God. Everything else will simply drop away. So why is it that I am proclaiming we have arrived at the time of the coming of Christ? Because the time we are in is unprecedented in world history, and no time has the world ever come into what we see now happening in man's world. Hear now what this declaration is. Man has many times in the past been the victim of wars and rumors of wars. Many times in history, mankind has starved, been in battles, and been estranged one from another. So that is not a sign of the Lord's coming. Many times in the past, nations have gone extinct. Nations that once existed exist no more. Monetary systems come and monetary systems go. Bankers rob the poor and bankers get wasted by failing economies. So that is not a sign of the Lord's coming. Mankind many times in history past has advanced in science and technology and in things that preserve themselves while annihilating others. Man has made inventions of every sort to make life easier and to advance the cause of man's thinking ability. History is rife with example of man's so-called new technology. So that is not a sign of the Lord's coming. Mankind has always had governments that grew old and tired and that had leaders that failed them and caused them hurt or harm. So they would raise up new leaders who would be for them a new form of savior, one to bring them out of the anarchy created by former world leaders' governments. This has happened to every nation since the beginning of time. So that is not a sign of the Lord's coming. Mankind has always repeated the mistakes of men who built the Tower of Babel. Man has always made a name for himself, building up for himself everything from belief systems to world economies. All this done in defiance of the Lord who reigns as king over his kingdom. So that is not a sign of the Lord's coming. What then is a sign of the coming of the Son of Man? That Jesus is coming, that it can be declared that his appearing is next on the agenda. There is only one thing that gives us this clue, and that thing is that nearly 99.9% of humanity worships that which is concentrated here on this earth, in this world, in this time. Even if they believe not in the Lord, they still worship that which is in place of the Lord. For Christendom, it is this one that looks like Jesus, talks like Jesus, walks like Jesus, blesses like Jesus, prophesies like Jesus, prospers and makes rich just like Jesus would do, but is not Jesus. For the world of men and the governments of men, it is a buildup of world wealth through monetary systems and political agendas, all part of the beast that rises up out of the sea. That is equivalent to this false Jesus that Christianity is following. The sign of Jesus' coming is the so-called Lord sitting in the temple as God, when in fact it is not God. I do not spend my life seeking a new world order that man makes. I spend my life seeking the new world order that comes from the true Lord, the one who will appear in those who are like him, who have the marks of the cross like him, who know that he is not part of this present evil world. I spend my life working towards the revelation of his kingdom, not a new order man would make or that man would contrive. My life is spent entirely waiting for the promise of the true Lord who will give me that true kingdom which knows no end. The false Jesus of Christendom is as false as demon power can make him, so fake that they think it is true, so unreal that they think it is the true reality. This one sits as Lord upon the throne of their worship as God, but it is not in any wise God. It is in fact demon power in the form of carnal religious effort. It is a loss of trust and a gain of unrighteous works. It is equating the things of God to the things of worldly wealth and power. It is a flow of blessing which imitates the true. This, dear reader, is the sign of His coming, and this, dear reader, has never been seen before. This is the only true sign of His coming. The manifestation of the sons and daughters of God is not going to be in masses of people. This will happen in a very few, those whom the Lord sees as ones who obeyed Him and who bore first their own death to self-process through personal crosses. These who became like Jesus in every respect, knowing full well His suffering and His sorrow. There will be manifested in glorified eternal bodies this little smattering of humanity, this tiny percentile group, but they will change this world. They alone will purify that which is still impure. They alone will reveal the kingdom of God. They alone will show forth the praise of the Lord in the lives of they, lives which they laid down, and their reward will be openly seen by all the nations worldwide. These alone will, with the true Jesus, destroy the false one. These alone will never be part of anything that is outside of the Lord's completed kingdom. These who once took part in this suffering will now take part in the glory of His majesty. And all the earth, all the nations will see this. Their own way, their own hope will be removed from them along with this blasphemy which imitated the Lord. This company, this little first resurrected group, this first fruit company will bring about the end of world history and the beginning of the kingdom of God. It is this company that will arise and be seen as ones who entered the mystery of our change, for they will be exactly like Jesus when He comes. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.